5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Fruffy Friday.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Why have I got a real bad feeling about this?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Well, people listen every day, but they absolutely listen on a Friday. We have got Neil Baum coming into the show later on. Got the new book out. What a superstar he is. Idiot File, massive one.
Yes.
Joke, I just don't know where that's headed, of
course. Again.
But very soon, we speak to the president of the North Melbourne Football Club. What an extraordinary job she has done. Dr. Sonia Hood is a superstar in the eyes of every North fan everywhere. And very soon, we get the man who broke the story before anyone else this morning, Damien Barrett. But hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jim. And well done to you, by the way. Obviously, Sonia's done a great job. But well done to you, Jim, because you had your little fingers in the pie.
No, thanks, Bill. That's it's a credit to her. She's been brilliant.
No, well done to you. And g'day to you, Rabs.
Hey, Fat.
Yep.
It is a brilliant day for the Kangaroos. And I know we're about to speak to Damo about it, but I want to tell you a very quick story about Al Clarkson. He played with my brother in the early 90s. They've always been great mates. They're still, to this day, inseparable.
Yep.
And Clarko knew how big a supporter I was of the Kangaroos because I was playing for South Australia in the cricket. I used to drive over and watch the games on the weekend, stay with Mark, and got to know him back then. When he left North Melbourne to go to Melbourne, I reckon it was about 93, I knock on the door at my joint in Adelaide.
Yes.
This great, big, huge parcel was there from a courier bloke.
Yeah.
No idea. I've opened the parcel up.
Yep.
It was all Clarko's North Melbourne gear, his tracksuits, his training shorts. And he said, mate, I couldn't send it to a better home. You know, go the Kangas. And
that's
how good a fella he is, mate. It is a great thing what's happened today.
Yeah, well done. Well done to you. And, of course, no rap today, Rabsy. No rap, because we're going to go straight to Damien Barrett. He's the man who broke the story. And, Damo, a great day for football, I reckon, but an even better day for the North Melbourne Football Club.
Hello, Bill. Hello, Jim. Yeah, it is. It's 1973 all over again, isn't it, in some respects, when Ron Barassi walked into the North Melbourne Footy Club, and it took him three seasons to land a flag, North Melbourne's first, and there's a similar sentiment today from those old-timer North Melbourne people who have been doing it very, very tough, given what's been happening for a long time now. But just to your point, Bill, Jim Brayshaw did have a fair bit to say.
Don't be stupid,
and
you two.
With by way of negotiations and how it got to today, but I'll let him talk about that.
Don't be stupid. Now, Damo, something needed to happen. Let's just be honest here. That 17, 18, 18, or most probably 18 by the end of this weekend, that's the worst on-field performance for North Melbourne since the early 70s. So we've got to go back 50 years. So it is a brilliant result, but by the way, necessary result too, because what's been happening down there has been nowhere near good enough.
No, it hasn't, and that's why Sonia Hood identified that the need, not just for an experienced coach, but the best one, and he happened to be available. And it's full credit to her. I know you're going to speak to her in a moment, but she decided on this game plan. She took the entire lifting, if not the entire, the heaviest part of the lifting, and delivered it, and did it in a way which had her going to come out a winner regardless of Alistair's decision. Obviously, it was in the favour of her, and yeah, full credit to her. I don't think the project has got a chance to be succeeding the way it did without the way she chose to play it.
Spot on there. And, yeah, she was under pressure, and she delivered. I'm going to call her the postman, no doubt about that. But tell us, Damo, what's happened today? Give us a rundown of what's actually happened today.
Yeah, well, the news was delivered to Sonia Hood last night by Alistair Clarkson and his manager, James Henderson, and that was obviously what she wanted to hear. And And then the motion was put in place then for that to be distributed, to Essendon Footy Club this morning. And so it was a bit before 9 o'clock, Bill, when Essendon was made aware of that decision. And
how serious was he? Did he speak to Essendon? What was going on there, just briefly?
In the end, Bill, and again, sometimes you can only piece all these stories together after the event. In the end, not that seriously. He acknowledged himself that there was a conversation with the new chairman, David Barham, on Tuesday. But basically, and this is a longer answer that he gave, but I'll paraphrase it for you. They just left it too late. They had had a form of communication during the year, but nothing of a formal nature. And it wasn't until, as we discussed on Monday on the rush hour, that the board meeting on the Sunday and then the Monday where Barham took over from Paul Brasher, that was the hit go moment on the Alistair Clarkson project. But again, we're piecing this all together. North Melbourne was really comfortable last weekend, which we knew to be the case. There was a few moments of real nervousness and apprehension once Essendon entered the fray because North thought, gee, here we go again, another big name potentially not joining us. They managed to wade through all that, and ultimately the methodical way they approached Alistair Clarkson appealed once Essendon appeared in disarray. And, Bill, this is where that story now goes, because David Barham, in doing what he did and not relaying any of this news to Ben Rutten, the coach, for some days, has left him hanging out to dry. I'll just leave you with a part of the David Barham press conference today. So Ben Rutten will coach tomorrow night against Richmond at the MCG, and then there's going to be a decision made on his future the following day. This is David Barham on that aspect.
What I would like is some direct comparison with other clubs as to how we're going. So, what did Geelong have, 8 preliminary finals in 12 years? Why has they got 8 preliminary finals in 12 years and we're not making the finals? So I want to know, what are Geelong doing? Mm. What's Collingwood done this year? What happened with Richmond? Why'd they turn around? I just want some of that data to add to internal data so we've got a full picture.
Wants a lot of
that
data.
Was actually the reference to wanting to bring in some outside information. But David Barham, Bill, just when you hear that, referencing those clubs and those clubs being, successful, he's been on this Essendon board since 2015. It's something, and asking those questions is something he could have done long before today and long before this particular week when he decided to take on the chairman in Paul Brasher with the view to getting Clarkson and then missing out. And we'll just listen to that bit now where he does clearly leave his own coach, who's contracted for next year, Ben Rutten, again hanging out to dry.
You need a new coach?
We're going to decide that on Sunday.
Oh, that's it.
It's just...
Damo. I think
given what they've done to him all week, Bill, and how they haven't told him what was going on, then they did tell him what was going on, And he had a meeting today, David Barham, Jim, and Bill, with the players. And that's now another layer of carnage at Essendon. The players push back on what I've been told today quite ferociously against Barham as to how this has happened this week and how the finger's always and often pointed at the coaches and the players when there's other and clearly bigger problems at play at this club.
So... As if there isn't always enough angst between North Melbourne and Essendon, Damo, the dislike goes back a long, long way. Kevin Sheedy's comments about Alistair Clarkson, while they were trying to court him to be their coach, might have been the most extraordinary part of an extraordinary week.
Jim, don't for a moment think that it wasn't a key part of the quick turnaround in Alistair Clarkson being able to say no quickly. In fact, I know it was a quick and significant component to him thinking, this club's left it really late. I've now got the great Kevin Sheedy saying things like that. What's the point of pursuing any further the calls that they've made to me? So that was no coincidence that he got off the plane yesterday, as we know, from Adelaide, where he'd been visiting a sick friend. Went immediately home, brought forward a meeting that he planned to have with his family, got them all on Zoom, told them the situation, and then jumped in the car to go and see Sonia and tell her that he would be joining North Melbourne.
Well done, mate. Again, you've broken the biggest story in football. We're going to chat to you across the wheel. You'll, of course, do the Friday huddle tonight, and then you'll be a big part of the Saturday rub tomorrow, but great work by you.
Cheers, boys.
Well done, Purple. Now, Jim, I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the ex-president. You've been there a long time. What does it mean to you and to the club?
Oh, it's extraordinary, Bill. In every way, it's extraordinary because the club hasn't been in great shape for 3 years. No. There's no way of sugarcoating it. It's been, I think, it's made some really poor decisions, and what's happened on field has at times been actually humiliatingly embarrassing.
Yep.
But suddenly you bring a four-time premiership coach, the best coach in the last 30 years, to a club that's finished 17, 18, 18, and suddenly you've got hope, you've got belief, you've got structure, you've got someone that can come in, bring a team in, and run a program that's going to very quickly turn what's been embarrassing into something really promising. So it is huge.
It is. It's great for footy, as I said, but it is really good for the North Melbourne Footy Club. So, well done. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Damien.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Wouldn't know who from clay.
Well, it's hard to tell sometimes.
Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill.
Give yourself a pat on the back.
Time to do Friday Brag Out as Fat.
Just tell us the amazing thing you've done this week.
Well, I've just quit my job. I loaded the family in the car and drove all the way to Adelaide for Frozen the Musical.
How is Frozen? Is it good or not?
Oh, horrendous.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's the Friday Brag Artist.
All right, time for Brag Artist Fat. I was on the Brookwater Golf Course here in Queensland, which is magnificent this morning.
Yeah.
I was partnered with Luke Hodge. We're playing against Alistair Lynch and Alex, who's part of the seven crew up here.
Oh, yeah, Alex,
Bill, we're four down with six to play.
No, you couldn't win.
All styles.
And
fair to say, Jimmy hadn't done much to that point.
And he come good.
Suddenly I went to work. Oh. Just three of the last four fat to drag us out of the poo.
Well done. Unbelievable. Thought you might have said.
So I'm claiming that.
I thought you said you might have claimed Clarko. He's been pole vaulting around all morning.
Sonia's, we're going to speak to her shortly. But 133353, what are we giving away, Rabzi?
A double pass to Boxing Day of the Boxing Day test for you and your dad. Treat your dad to the perfect day out this Father's Day. Search Cricket Tickets for more information.
Very good. Right. Well done there. 133353, ring now, your brag artist. I've got one, Jim.
Go on.
Very successful Brownless Stoneham night last night.
Yes.
Had Jono Brown.
Oh, brown dog.
Yeah, he's got 63 screws in his head.
No, I don't.
He's still got them.
In his head?
Yeah, in his head. 63 screws.
Well, it looks like it, and they're all set up like a box.
That's right, like a Lego head. Daisy Thomas, very good last night. Cam Mooney, Rebecca Madden, Aaron Finch, Shannon Burns. Oh, she was a good night, beautifully hosted by me. Oh, and Baz, that's right. But no, good night. So another good night. And Raps?
You're so unbelievable.
I just didn't know when to play that, man.
Bill's just talking about a night he had.
Yeah.
All right, 133353, ring us now. Brag Artist will take your calls next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What sort of garbage is this?
That's Radio Craft. Bill. A1.
The president of the North Melbourne Football Club, Dr. Sonia Hood, joins us within 10 minutes.
Doctor. It's not hard to say doctor.
I know, I've done it twice.
Sonia. I know.
Time for Brag Artist.
Yes.
I love this. One of my favourite segments of the week. Rav's in Q-Bill.
Hello, Rav. How are you?
Hey, guys. Very good. Love the show. And Bill, looking forward to your joke later.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a fruity one, but you'll love it. What do you got for us, Ravi?
I'm getting married in Feb next year, and I spent the day taking the mother-in-law shopping, and I'm not talking the local shops. I've gone all the way from Essendon to Pakenham and everywhere in between.
Oh,
you're so unbelievable.
That's good work, Rav.
Yeah.
You get on well with her, clearly?
Well, you know, you build the foundations now, Jim, and then there'll be a smooth sailing.
Oh, listen, dude. What were you shopping for?
Just whatever. She lives in the country, so, you know, take her out and she can buy some modern stuff.
Well done. Well done. Stay there. Jamie's in Ballara, Bill.
Hello, Jamo.
Hey, boys. How are you?
What's your big news? What are you bragging about?
Oh, big brag. Moving to New South Wales next week because I've successfully got the broodmare manager's job at Godolphin in the Hunter Valley.
Wow-wee. This is unbelievable, Jim. Do you know how big this is? You know Godolphin.
Yes.
Magnificent. Well, they're the biggest, I think, thoroughbred breeding operations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the broodmare manager.
Yeah, and the assistant stud manager up at the Wild Woodlands Farm, yep.
Gee. Oh, a beautiful part of the world too, Jamie.
Oh, stunning.
Yep, you'll have a ball. Well done. That's amazing.
Is Godolphin still owned by the Sheikh, Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum?
That's him.
How good's that? He owns it all. It is huge. Hey, well done. All the best there, mate.
It is good. Stay there, Jane. We'll get back to you, I'm sure. Rocky in Bacchus Marshville.
Oh, Rocky Balboa. Oi. Rocky!
JB, Fat, how are you?
Good, Rocky. What's happening in Bacchus Marsh?
In Heidelberg today, long trek from Bacchus Marsh. Me and the other apprentice were up on the back unit, top story, and he shot himself straight through the knee. On the top level, he obviously couldn't walk, couldn't move his leg.
Wow.
And there was only one way down. So I put him on my back like a backpack, and I climbed down the ladder, took him to the front, and the ambulance arrived shortly after. He's in surgery at 6 o'clock tonight, so prayers up to Nosy.
Rock, he shot himself with a nail gun.
With a what? Yeah.
Straight through the knee.
A nail gun. Wow.
That's amazing.
And you carried him downstairs on your back.
On me back. He's in surgery. He's off tonight.
Oh, that's good.
And what's his name? Nosy.
Nosy. Nozzle.
Nozzle. All the best, Nosy.
All right. Yeah. Come on, Nose. Where's Matthew? Stay there, Rock. Where's Matthew from, please, Rabbits?
Wodonga and Albury.
Hello, Matty.
Hi, how you going, JB Fat?
Oh, g'day, Matty. What do you got for us, buddy?
It's not me. It's my partner of 20 years who got diagnosed with breast cancer in January.
Yep.
And she's done 2 rounds of chemo and recently had surgery. And she's been given the all-clear cancer-free.
Oh. You're so unbelievable.
That is superb.
That is, Maddie.
Jeez, Maddie, what a relief.
Well, it is, yeah. It's a weight off the shoulders for sure.
Bloody
and, yeah, it's a big chance that it might not ever come back. So
right.
Oh, brilliant.
Out for dinner tonight. Go to the Wodonga Hotel and have a palmy in a pot.
Might do something a bit better than that, Bill.
Oh, I would hope a bit better than that, Bill. Yeah, no, but thank you. Leah's in Bendigo. Hello, Leah.
Leah.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, Leah. How's Bendigo today?
Yeah, not bad. Pretty nice today. I don't know if I can follow those two acts. That's pretty impressive on those boys and obviously the cancer diagnosis. Okay. However, today we've got a new building at work and there's new special toilet roll holders that need a special, like, Allen key. To open them up. No one could do it. And they're like, this is ridiculous. How do we change these blooming toilet rolls? So I got in there, had a look, put the key in, boom, Bob's your uncle, 4 toilets, now have toilet paper in them.
Unbelievable.
Not an easy thing to use, Bill, the Allen key. They take a bit of money
like
getting
Allen
used
key,
to
it. But I had a little tricky pin on it. A little, ridiculous.
What happened to the dunny roll just down by the dunny or something?
Wow.
Oh, what if it's on the floor?
Yeah.
Hey, well, we can do better than that in Bendigo. Nah, all right, Bill. Hey, nice helping.
Very nice.
Go on.
I tell you, the brood mare, getting married. I can't go past Matty, who from Wodonga. What have we got? The cricket tickets for him?
Yes,
perhaps?
Absolutely. 2 tickets to day one of the Boxing Day Test versus South Africa at the MCG. Headed your way, mate.
Ah, nice. And Rock gets something from Bacchus Marsh.
The hero.
Well done, Matty.
Yeah, well done,
Matty. Bloke shot himself in the knee with a nail gun, Bill. Put him on the... He's back like a backpack.
Yeah.
Got him down from the top level and he's into surgery.
Nosy. Well
done,
$100 grilled voucher headed your way, Rock.
Thanks, boys. Love the show.
Good on you, Rocky.
On the way,
anything
mate.
Else you like, Fat?
No. Rebsy's saying we've got
keep
no
going,
more.
Rebsy.
I don't know. If you got one more.
Well,
I cut you off there, Rebs. What were you talking about, by the way?
We're going to give Matthew $200 for dinner tonight as well.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
How?
Whitney's saying we're going to give it to him. It's coming out of your wallet.
Well, we're just going to send him $200.
Bill reckons.
I just don't know how the logistics of it.
Well, we can work some magic, and Matty's got $200 to take his wife out for dinner.
Well done.
Well done.
Yeah, goodbye, nice. You. And when we do something that's as nice as that, we probably don't want to follow it up with how.
Enjoy, Matty.
Dr. Sonia Hood next, the president of the North Melbourne Football Club.
Triple M Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's not your best, but it's also not your worst.
No.
JB, it has been a momentous day for the North Melbourne Football Club.
Oh, it has. Alistair Clarkson, four-time premiership coach, the most successful coach in the recent history of the AFL, has agreed for the next 5 years to take over as the senior coach of the North Melbourne Football Club. And this lady, the president, Dr. Sonia Hood, has single-handedly landed the biggest marlin in the game, and great credit goes to her. She joins us now. Sonia, congratulations. How relieved were you when Clarko or James Henderson rang and said, "We're in"?
Thanks, JB. I have to say, yeah, pretty relieved. I reckon that was off the scale in relieved terms.
And that happened last night?
Happened last night, yep. And pretty pleased I didn't have to go through with a plan B. So, yeah, very happy that plan A worked.
You should be too. And it's so important on so many levels, but almost immediate work needing to be done. The likes of Horn Francis, Zerha, et cetera, people that were putting off recommitting to the club, they will have a different view now, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's hard to ask people to recommit if they don't know who's going to be in charge and what the future looks like. And now they know, and people will make their decisions accordingly. And I think it's a pretty exciting future, to be honest. So hoping that everybody jumps on with that.
And when you announced that he was to everybody, you said that we welcome back, I think it was Shinbone, 700, I don't know the exact number, 700 and something, because he, of course, started...
781.
Started his playing career at Arden Street. And, Sonia, I think it's fair to say that the place needs an injection of the Shinbone spirit. It's been missing for a while.
Yeah, look, I think that's right, and I think it's always there underneath, isn't it? But it's always good to go back and remember what your roots are, and ours are emphatically Shinboner, and it's who we are, it's where we are, and Alistair embodies everything about that. So I think it'll be having more than an injection.
Oh, yeah. Well done, Sonia. Billy here. Congratulations. Was
Thanks,
it smooth sailing all the way, or was there a late spanner in the works from Essendon? And did that worry you at all?
It worried me just insofar as we didn't see it coming, but we were really firm from the outset on what our offering was, and we were really firm from the outset on why we thought Alistair was a good fit for us. And after the first time I sat down with him, I knew that he was right for our club and our club was right for him. And this is going to sound counterintuitive, I suppose, but I also knew if he picked Essendon, he wasn't going to be right for us because, you know, that probably sounds stupid, but there was a fit. And I just had to, we just had to stand firm and ignore all the noise around us and just stand firm on our case and our pitch. And that's what won through in the end.
I'm reading here, he starts November 1, but there's a bit going on, obviously, and he has to talk to players, I assume. Has he suggested any names that he will bring along with him?
Not so far, no. No, the only name that it suggested so far is Alistair Clarkson, and that's the one that's most important.
Yeah, very good. What was your plan B?
Oh, look, thankfully we're never going to need to know, are we?
Oh, right. That was a great answer. Gee, that was a good answer, Sonia.
Thanks very much.
So what is the most impressive thing about him for you, Son? When you're sitting down with him, you've done that now on two or three occasions for lengthy periods of time. You've very successfully sold him your vision of where the club's headed, and he's bought into that, which is brilliant. What struck you immediately about Alistair Clarkson?
I think it's how genuine he is. I think that word gets thrown around a lot, doesn't it? But, you know, for a guy who's won four flags, probably knows more about the game than anybody else, he at heart is a country boy. He is permanently curious about everything. He's interested in learning and being challenged and discovering new stuff. And he's actually really enjoyable to be with. And I probably shouldn't sound surprised when I say that, but not everybody in footy is, as it turns out. But he certainly is. So, yeah, we sat down for our first meeting and I thought that we might have spent maybe 30 or 40 minutes together. We had 2.5 hours. And and you could have – I mean, I nearly died when I looked at the clock and realised how long we'd been sitting there. Because it passed in a couple of minutes. He's terrific to spend time with.
And I don't reckon you would have spoken, I don't know this, but I'm just guessing, I don't reckon you would have spoken a lot about footy in those 2.5 hours.
Not at all. Hardly at all. So we spoke about all kinds of other things, his upbringing, my upbringing, you know, formative experiences in his life, different things that he'd done at Hawthorn, but not specific, not specifically about footy, more about experience.
Did he pay or did you?
Well, we were at my place and I made him a cup of tea.
Oh, nice, Sonia. That's good. Hey, you were under a lot of pressure. It was all you, and you were under all this pressure, but you delivered. So it must be a relief for you too.
It is a relief, although I know that it looks like it was all me, but it wasn't all me. We took a decision as a board and as a club how we were going to go about this. We chose to go all in on Alistair, and we worked out how we were going to do it. And I was the front of that, I suppose, the voice of that. Mm. But the decision making and the approach that we take and all that sort of thing, that was a group effort behind the scenes. So I felt incredibly well supported by my board and by Ben Amalfioni's executive team and by the club. And and so I really feel, though, even though I was carrying the conversations, it was absolutely a team effort. And a huge credit to the club, by the way, that we stuck the course. No one leaked. No one deviated. We were really firm on it.
Oh, I think that the off-field has been extraordinary, Sonia. When you think about finishing 17, 18 and most likely 18 again, to be breaking membership records, I know Mazda have just recommitted. I think Spirit of Tasmania, if they haven't, they're not far away. So what you've been able to do has been amazing, but an injection of Alistair Clarkson will help with all of those things, membership included.
Absolutely. And look, huge credit to Ben Amalfioni's team. They have done an absolutely phenomenal job. And as you say, 17 doesn't give you much to work with, and 17 plus a draw that doesn't seem much free to wear doesn't give you much to work with. But our members have been absolutely fantastic. We really do have the best members in the competition, and Mazda's been unbelievable. And, you know, we're coming up to 25 years, and if you're not driving a Mazda, you should be, because it's the best car in Australia.
Bill drives a Mazda.
Exactly, the BT50 Ute, magnificent Ringwood Mazda there. It's a wonder he didn't go to Geelong, Alistair Clarkson, because everyone wants to go there, Sonia. Even the Spirit of Tassie is going to Geelong.
Yeah, no, so they tell me. But you've got a coach, I think, so,
That's true, and a very good one too. Sonia, how are we celebrating tonight? Are you going to just head out to, the Stoke House or Flower Drum or somewhere and just...
Yeah, I should, shouldn't I? But no, I'm going to be frocking up tonight, JB, for the North Melbourne AFLW season launch, because that kicks off in a week. So I'm back to Arden Street tonight with the girls to celebrate the start of their season. And really looking forward to getting the win over Gold Coast tomorrow.
What about when she walks in, Jim, tonight? Standing ovation, there, and the postman, they're calling her already because she delivers.
Yeah, that's the...
Is that true? Is that what you're calling yourself, Sonia?
I just don't think you're going to get that one to stick.
All right, congratulations. It is a huge credit to the way you've conducted yourself over the last little while that this most sought-after commodity has decided to sign at your club. Well done, and good luck with everything coming up.
Thanks very much, and that'll be our club, JB. And thank
you. Well, I know, but I'm speaking to the president, so the duest amount of respect. Well done.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Well done.
North Melbourne President Dr. Sonia Hood.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Hello to you, Pat.
Hello. Hello, Jim. How are you?
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With
Aussie Supermole
Rosie Walton.
There's a little tinkle on the end of it.
What's that?
That's a... No, you got mail.
I think it's usually been on there, hasn't
mile.
It? Mail.
Can I just say, before I get into my mail, Dr. Sonia Hood, how great having her on the Rush Hour, because she saw right through Bill, I loved every second of it. Yeah, what a smart woman.
You think, She was good. She's actually very humble and a very good president.
Absolutely.
So we like that. And she's landed the big fish, as Jim said.
Correct. Feedback from JDZ saying that he has a brag artist in a footy chat with a bunch of Flatters Attack Bombers supporters. Dropped a bit of Yaz, the only way is up to lift their spirits into the group chat.
Oh, no.
Yes, here it is. Bomber fans.
Sucked in. Love it.
Oh, Rose.
Whatever.
They've had a bad week.
now the jokes bone of contention this week.
Why? Oh, can I ask you what? Don't listen.
I'm just reading out the comments.
To negative guts.
Butler wrote, The Matty Ice wrote, absolute dumpster fire. Time to retire the jokes. Not even remotely funny.
That's one.
The only Rusty said, Billy Brownis needs to be knighted. Everyone should address him as Sir Bill. So there's one person that likes it.
Oh, so we've had...
Loving how Jim looks so filthy. C. Mill reckons I've never seen such a depressed look on a bloke, meaning you, James.
No. Well, they've been rubbish, like complete rubbish.
So one way to turn that around would be the suggestion from James ALP. Can you please do a Fruity Friday joke for us?
Yes.
Me or
you, James?
Two nuns are riding through the Vatican City.
A new one, Jim. You go to that one in your desert boot.
Desert boots.
Have you had Botox?
Who?
You.
What? No.
He's very close on the screen here, and he looks like he's had a bit of Botox.
But it's not helping people at home. Yeah, exactly. Keep going, Rose.
We had the lovely Styx Kernahan in yesterday, spruiking a Carlton draft. Glenn Ando, 7569, said, I'd rather drink my own urine than that rotten stuff, but nothing against Styx.
Oh, that's the Carlton draft.
That's probably because of the Carlton imaging around it.
Yeah, right. Not the actual fluid.
Absolutely not.
Cal Butler wrote... Stand by your can.
Oh. Yes.
Very clever. Good. I was going to sing it, but I lost confidence.
Did you see Rui comments on that?
Stand by your can.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it, Bill.
Facebook feedback, because we're on the Facebook and we forget about it sometimes, but Triple M Rush Hour, join in. Gordon Barnett wrote, you guys are funny as F. Good job. That's all he wrote. Chris O'Flaherty wrote, love the show. I'm from Bort.
Bort.
Also known as fart in a bath, because that's the noise that you make when you fart in a bath.
Hose, there was a famous broadcaster from Tassie cricket, all sports, Neville Oliver, and he was called fart in a bath. Because when you say his name, Neville
Oliver,
it sounded like the bubbles coming up in the bath.
That's it. Oliver.
I love it. And also a shout out to the Kelly family, because the Wallen Magpies under 12 boys, undefeated for the season, they won the granny on the weekend.
Well done.
Well done.
To the Kellys.
Brilliant.
That is good. And Quambatook won last week, by the way. We were talking about Quambatook. They had a win. They're through to the finals. And guess where they play? The first final. Quambatook.
Thank you, Bill.
That was the side I was going to follow.
Not more.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm prone to having the odd day off. Not far away from chatting to the great Neil Baum, one of our favourite people. Fatty's an absolute beauty. So we're looking forward to new books come out too from Barmy. Well, he hasn't actually written it himself, but he's had a big hand in the contents of it, and he is a great football story. So we chat to Barmy soon.
Exactly, Jimmy boy. Some sporting news, of course. The big news of the day is Alistair Clarkson has signed a five-year contract at the North Melbourne Footy Club. It's a huge day for North Melbourne. It's a great day for footy. And I caught up with Clarko, Jim, and I asked him.
Did you?
How long will this turnaround at North Melbourne take, Clarko?
We need to fill some holes in terms of the side, and we'll build that over a period of time. But some hard work has already been done in that space. And even though those results aren't being shown on the field at the present time, I'm not of the view that it's going to be a 10-year turnaround. I'm of the view that if you roll the sleeves up and get to work and put together in place a program with really, really good people that are really aligned to a vision of where we want to go, then we can all get on this journey together. And I think that's really exciting for the North followers out there. I think it's exciting for those that are heavily involved in the club, and certainly exciting for those that are going to be directly responsible for guiding that process through the next few years.
Oh, well done, Clarko. That is exciting. Exciting for North Melbourne, and Jim's very excited up there at the Gabba. Poor old Essendon, of course. You know who they're talking about, Jim, now? Might be coach of the Essendon Football Club?
Go on.
James Hurd.
Surely not.
I've just heard that in the last hour or so. It's come through. I've got my nose to the ground.
Have you?
And even my ear. Hey, Carlton have signed. What about this for the Blue Baggers, Jim? Mm-hmm. The Carlton Football Club have signed Charlie Curnow on a 6-year contract.
I saw that.
6 years, Jimmy boy.
Where were they in your day, Fat? The big 6-yearer.
I got 1 year. Actually lucky to get 6 months. So that takes him through to 32. He'll be a Blue. I'll tell you who they haven't signed, Jimmy boy. Harry Mackay hasn't signed yet.
Well, maybe he'll go and play with his brother.
Well, maybe he's the one. Tom De Koning, they haven't signed him up yet. Mitch McGovern, Sam Doherty, Paddy Dow. So there's a few there they've got to sign up. So that is interesting at the Blue Baggers.
Bloody oath it is.
Jordan DeGoey and Jack Ginnivan trained today, Jim, with the main group. So you would expect them to play on Sunday against Carlton.
Yep.
Interesting there. St Kilda's Dean Kent will play his 100th game for the Saints this week and his final game.
Harry McCoy's contracted till the end of next year.
Yeah. Fat.
Well, I'm just reading here with fellow goal-kicking star and 2021 Coleman medalist winner, Harry Mackay, due to be a free agent next season.
Yes.
Righto.
So, yeah, so that's different to being uncontracted. Yeah.
Dean Kent is playing his 100th and his final game for Sydney, Jim. Hey, the Storm take on the Broncos tonight.
Broncos.
Up there in Suncorp Stadium.
Rugby league.
Storm are fourth on the ladder. Broncos are sixth. That is a big game there. Speaking of rugby league, what about Peter Vlandy? I don't know if you've heard this, Jim. He let it go yesterday. It's fantastic. But wowee, is he a comedian? Have a listen to this, because he was announcing that Sydney Homebush Stadium will host the grand final.
So we wanted to give it to a city that needs a major football event. And that's why we've gone with Melbourne. Just kidding. Greetings, Gil, if you're watching.
Greetings, Gil, if you're watching.
Old rugby league.
Come on, rugby league.
Just trying to ease out a little rib tickler.
Yeah, which wasn't funny at all.
I think he's dropped it.
I think he has too, Rapsy. You're spot on, my friend. I tell you what I have found, Jim, here.
Yes.
Some 1989-1990 scorecard. Western Australia v Victoria over at the Wacker. And you actually played well. You know why we dug this out, Jim? Craig Bradley. Because I asked the other day, did Craig Bradley play for Victoria? Because he played for South Australia.
Yep,
he played in this game. At first innings, Bradley caught Brayshaw bowled Mac for 23.
That was the third slip, I remember it.
Well done. Brayshaw, by the way, bowled six overs, none for 25, but did make 80 in the first innings. Caught Watts, bowled McIntyre. Oh, no. You said McIntyre couldn't bowl.
I could not. I ran down and hit it straight into Watts' fat guts, and I was shattered.
And then Craig Bradley in the second innings got 30, and Brayshaw not out 41 in the second dig. So what an all-rounder Craig Bradley was. We're talking about it with sticks.
Yep, nuts. And that's Killer Watts, obviously. His brother, Lee, is still the main man at Kookaburra. So when I was a Kookaburra contracted player, Bill used to go and see Wattsy for your gear.
Yeah.
And he is still there now, and that's like 25 years later. What a very good man, Lee Watts. He's quality. Now, Bill, I know we're about to speak to Barmy.
Yes,
but
Neil
we just need to put a rider on it, Rabsy, and that is that we actually spoke to him yesterday. Now, you need to know that, because he references running into Styx Kernaghan about 17 times, because Styx was in yesterday, just before Barmy. And also, he doesn't talk about Clarko, which we probably would have brought up with him otherwise.
Yeah.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What do you do when you're out in the dance
floor? I cut a considerable rug.
Right now, we're joined by legendary footy player, coach and administrator Neil Barm.
Next guest had a deadly left foot.
It comes back towards Neil Barm. He walks onto the left foot, almost falls, gets the left foot to the ball. A great goal, Neil Barm.
And a deadlier temper.
Wade Barm doing that left. Oh, and Wade top one.
He won two flags with the Tigers as a player and has led them to three as their GM of footy.
And it will be the Tigers, their third premiership in 4 years. One of the great teams.
Please welcome Neil Barm.
So there are some blokes, Rabs, that premierships follow.
Yep.
And there are some blokes that they don't.
Bro.
And we got them both in this room. We got Barmy, who's been involved in 10 plus.
He has.
And then you've got Fat, who never actually was involved in any.
Oh, welcome, Neil. Well done to you. Two as a player, two as a coach at Norwood, six as a administrator, 50 years in footy and still going. Do you still love it?
I do, as a matter of fact, just as well. But I've always loved footy. Good fun. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's all about people. It's just different people the whole time, different challenges through different people, and it's a lovely game, good fun, changed a fair bit. But when I look back on it, I think I played for Subiaco in 1968. Can you believe that?
I can't believe that.
I was only a baby then, I must admit.
I was born in 68.
Well, I think I was only just born too.
You were 16 actually back then. So, and that's interesting. When you played, and we only see those highlights and hear it, but you were tough, you were hard, dirty. Some say a dirty player.
Well, that was a bit dirty.
But everyone that knows you, you're a calm, cool, guarded, and a gentle giant. So, was that really you playing, or?
Oh, it was certainly me playing.
No, I know it was you, but.
But I think I figured it out. I figured out what my teammates needed me to do. Richmond in those days were kill or be killed in a lot of ways. It was you've just got to win, and you've got to do everything you can to win. And I sort of figured it out, and I was able to figure out what you could get away with. And imposing yourself on your opponent was an important way of us making it hard for them to play well and us perhaps to win. And then so intimidating them, and I still took the risk of them intimidating me as well, but I was actually reasonably good at it in the end. It's not really in my nature.
No.
But I got away with it and did a lot of things that when you look at it, you think, I'm not really that proud of that when you look at it, but it was just part of what we did. Like even when you're talking to Sticks before, he said all the blokes used to punch him in the back of the head and all that. That used to happen so much.
Yep.
And it was kind of just part of what you accepted. And it's one of the things about today's footy that annoys me is that, you know, you get a down-the-field free kick if someone bumps into the bloke who kicks the ball. To me, that's rubbish. Yep, the game's it is a challenging game. We're supposed to bump. If he whacks him, FAD.
Yeah, that's
but if he just bumps into him, stop imposing yourself.
So how did you get there? Because the four games as a 16-year-old at Subi, with Graham Richmond, I imagine, like was the great Graham Richmond part of the Tigers at that point.
And yes,
that,
he was.
That administration was legendary. How did you go from a 16-year-old at Subi to premiership player at Richmond?
It wasn't a footy decision. My dad was transferred to Melbourne to work, so we had to shift. I had no thought of leaving Perth at all.
Yeah, right, okay.
So we shift to Melbourne. I'm still going to school. And in those days, it was the cult of law where blokes like Cole Beard and Sid Jackson, a few other, they almost had to stand out for 12 months because all the Victorian teams were pinching the players from Adelaide and Perth. But because I was going to school, I was available, if you like, even though I'd played a couple of senior games for Subi as a kid. So we spoke to most of the clubs, and Alan Schwab had just started as the secretary of Richmond. GR was there, but they were pretty clever because we weren't committed to anyone. Collingwood were talking to my old man, trying to recruit him, I think. Ooh. I think typical. Been trying to recruit us.
Yes.
But then at the Essendon Airport when we landed, Jack Dyer was there with Schwabby and GR or whatever. We didn't know they were, but they've put us in the car and dropped us off. Which is good.
So you could have gone to Collingwood.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, we had to go through the process of deciding what to do. And then Schwabby was very clever because my brother, elder brother Ian and I were there and we're both in the chop up. He played under 19s with me as well. Swabby figured us out and he says, next week we're going to the Gold Coast for a training trip, etc. If you sign, you can come.
and
we said, where do we sign? Very easy to get, we were. Which was a really important part of my life, as it turns out, as a Richmond person, but that was one of the initial things. So we didn't come here to play footy. We came here because Dad was transferring his job.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
What a great decision you made, because you played for Richmond in an incredible time.
We were very lucky. It was wonderful. The 70s were fantastic. Played with some wonderful players, and Tommy was the coach, and we were, you know, really committed, and it was a very strong bond between all the other players and amongst ourselves. So it was a wonderful time for me.
And you've become even more famous probably as an administrator and, as Bill said, as a footy administrator. So you went to all of these incredible clubs, including Geelong when they had that amazing run of premierships, and you were universally loved as a footy person rather than, you know, a commercial person or any of the rest of it. You were the person that seemed to be the glue in the footy in those clubs.
You weren't a bullshitter.
Oh, I'm the only football person that's not there. By nature, I'm lucky that I actually genuinely give a hoot about people and want them to do better, and that's been kind of what I've always tried to do, trying to make everyone else as good as they can be, which is sort of a footy thing, but not always. And that was probably why I've been reasonably good as an administrator, because I do actually care about them, and I know enough about footy to know what's important, etc. But, I mean, I can easily talk myself up, but I have had a great time. I've really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
Exactly what Geelong needed. This is all in the book, by the way, Neil Balm, A Tale of Two Men, which we'll talk about shortly.
And so I probably wasn't quite mad enough to be a coach is my problem. See, the coaches are going to go to the crazy limits, and I was a bit too reasonable, I think. Yeah. And we're just talking to Steve Kernan earlier on, and he said, yeah, as a coach of the state team, he just said, oh, yeah, this is state. Just, you know. Run around, use the foot, have a bit of fun.
Indian file. Yeah, well, you did coach at Melbourne, of course, and there was an interesting time there, the merger with Hawthorn and Melbourne. Yeah, that was
horrible.
Was terrible?
Yeah. Well, it was very difficult because you're so committed to what happens indoors between you and the players and the team and all this other stuff on the outside's happening. It was quite difficult to deal with, really, in lots of ways. And because the board had said, yeah, okay, we're interested in this, I felt I had to agree with it. I said, yeah, well, I agree with the merger. Well, I didn't really.
No, yeah.
But you know, we kind of had to be one voice at a club. But it was a very difficult time. And then it doesn't work. And Scotty jumps up and says, what the hell are we doing this for? Which is probably a pretty wise thing to have said.
Yeah.
And then Melbourne, because they've done the strategic planning exercise and says, if we got more money and more good players, we'll be a better club. Well, you don't have to be a genius to come up with that one, I reckon. And so that's the more money thing. All of a sudden, there's a Joseph Gutnik bobs up and he's going to give him a heap of money. So to get that, they've got to give him some sort of control and power and say. And sadly, he had absolutely no idea what he was about.
He did not.
Which wasn't that helpful to me.
As a former coach of Melbourne, were you, even though you're now ensconced at Tigerland, were you able to enjoy the grand final last year? Tell us what.
Well, I tried not to, but I couldn't. I thought they were wonderful. Yeah. By the end, I thought, oh, that is fantastic. Because they really did play as well as you'd seen a club play for a long time. They were really fantastic. So I had to push myself aside and say, just enjoy what these guys are. And this has been a hard ride for them, and they're doing beautifully. So, no, I was very proud of them,
I must admit. Bill said, the book is The Tale of Two Men. We're going to get to the bottom of that next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Yeah, don't plan to be here very long.
And we're joined by Neil Balm, whose new book, Neil Balm, A Tale of Two Men, is out now and available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook, JB.
So Balmy, I first came across you as a student at Pembroke School, which is on the Parade of Norwood.
Yes, I know where
and
it is.
And I used to, with my mates, walk up the parade.
I knew too many people who could afford to send their kids there.
It was my second school, Balmy. Don't worry.
I got another one that wasn't going so well,
so I got moved on. But it was brilliant. Brilliant. We used to go to the parade and watch Norwood especially battle it out against Port Adelaide, the huge rivalry.
It was.
Full house, an amazing place, and you were the premiership coach that year, 1984.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I must admit, just to go back over the history, I play at Richmond, I play mostly under Tommy, a bit under Bones, but Tommy, and it was kind of his culture. And in a funny way, we were dissuaded from actually thinking about the game. Just do what's simple, which is head over the ball, do your best, kick it as long as you can, and we'll start all over again. And you're almost finessing if you tried to do anything else. And I'm always looking at the game thinking there's more to this game than just that. And that's not having to go at Tommy, because what he did was very successful. But I could see there was something else. And funnily enough, when Barry Richardson came in and coached for a while, we kind of thought a similar way. And so I knew there was somewhere a bit different. And so when I couldn't play anymore as a 27-year-old, remember I had arthritis and couldn't run or whatever, I was lucky enough that Norwood took a huge risk in approaching me and talking to me and then appointing me as their coach. Yeah. I'm a 28-year-old madman. But I think they could figure out that I got the game. But I was very lucky that I did go to Adelaide and go to Norwood particularly, because I learned so much about the game, because there's all this other stuff that they do, which you kind of saw it. But there's a way of maximising it. And blokes like the great John Wynne and Wally Miller, who was the footy man at Norwood, were really, and quite a lot of the players, are really helpful in saying, well, this is the way we look at it here. And I learned an enormous amount.
Gary McIntosh, Michael Aish. Craig Kelly, old cement head.
Cement head, him
to deal with.
Absolutely. No, he was good. No, he was a terrific coach.
Then back into Melbourne and the glorious run at Collingwood and then Geelong and now Richmond.
What about that? I've got to ask him about that. Because you came to Geelong in 2007. They haven't won a premiership in 44 years. Guess what they do in 2007? They win a premiership in your first year. They win another two when you're there. You go to Richmond. They haven't won a premiership for 37 years, and you Is there a secret?
Well, if there is, I'm keeping it.
No, I know. Is it in the book? You've got to read the book.
Well, it is in the book, but it just talks about encouraging and challenging and helping people. I mean, but that's where footy's come such a long way. Once it used to be do your best, bust your gut, and if you didn't, it was blame and shame in a sense. And so for some people that works, but it doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. And we're much better now at it doesn't stop us from making the hard decisions and challenging people to do the right thing. And we've got to drive them to be elite, but we've got to do it with support and help. How can we help you get there? What happened that time? What do we want to happen? What can we do about it? Rather than, you dickhead, you're making me look like a bad coach or whatever it was.
Yep.
And I think I brought that to all places I came to because that's what I could see. And I think it probably helped a bit. And it was all about everyone buying in and it's about us and it's collaboration.
It's a good word.
Because I can tell you, 1 + 1 + 1 is a lot more than 3 if you're on the same page. Yeah, and that's what we are. Our game is that. It's just 18 people at a time on the field. And if they work together, I'm telling you, you're going to be hard to stop. Now, that doesn't mean stars aren't important and ability's not important and all those things. But this is the unknown, the little extra thing. And I think in my own funny way, if I look back over the history, that's what I always brought.
Yeah.
So Bomber Thompson, Chris Scott, and now Damien Hardwick, all extraordinarily good coaches.
Yeah, love them all.
What have they got in common? What's the one thing they've all got in common?
Well, I think they've all got that really madness to drive their players, but I think they also have all got that capacity to put the arm around them and help them get there. Not just get what you got, but if you've got a bloke who's got a few little issues or a few problems or he's not doing some things right, work it out with him, help him with it. I think they all do that particularly well.
Yeah. Who was the best side? The Richmond Old Boys, unbelievable centre line and Kevin Bartlett, all that. The Geelong sides or the Richmond sides, the current one?
Well,
here's an interesting question.
Talking to Steve Kernan before, and the best side was that state side.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
tell us about
what we did. We played the state game. SA plays WA. Yeah. It must have been 75 it must have been.
No, would have been later. 85.
Yep.
And we had all of those good kids, Adelaide, still home. Steve Kernan, Peter Motley, Craig Bradley, Johnny Platten.
Chris McDermott.
Tony McGuinness. The Jarmans, the Tony McGuinness, Michael Ace, Gary McIntosh.
There's your side.
And what we had, we also had this mad bugger who was coaching there called Malcolm Blight.
Oh.
And I rang him up. I said, Blight, I've got this coaching job and I've got something that I reckon you'd love to do. He said, what's that? He said, I want you to play full forward with all these guys. And I think he said, yes. So we played against WA. It was just local.
Waffle Sandful.
And Johnny Todd was coaching them. So they were serious, but we smashed them because it was just wonderful. And again, that's not the best, but they were wonderful. It was just one of the lovely things that I was lucky enough Blighty to be able kick. To do. I think Blighty kicked 6 or 7, and I think he kicked 6 and Sticks kicked 7. Oh, I think, but it was wonderful. But which is the best? I hate to ever say because they can't play against each other, and doesn't matter. But if you're playing with Royce, you're pretty lucky.
Yep.
If you're playing with Dusty, you're pretty lucky. Yeah. I reckon. Yeah. If you're playing with Joel Selwood, I reckon you're pretty lucky. Or Gary Ablett Jr., you look pretty lucky too. So I've been lucky. I've been involved with a lot of good people. I don't want to individualize.
I got that score here. 1985 state game, South Australia, 30 goals, 18, 198. Western Australia, 16, 5th. They still kick 16, 111. So you won by 87 points, kicked 30 goals.
Well, I didn't spend a lot of time on the defence.
No, streaming forward.
Wow.
It was a wonderful day. It was over in Perth.
It was, fantastic.
Tale of Two Men is the book. Anson Cameron has put it together about the great Neil Balm. It's available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. So get in, get stuck into that. It's one of the great footy stories, Balmy.
Anson's written it beautifully. I've been very, very lucky. He's done a terrific job. He's a mad Geelong bloke as well.
Brilliant. Great
seeing
you.
He's a good bloke then.
Thank you.
Neil Balm on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
A truck carrying Worcestershire sauce crashes, Jim. Worcestershire sauce.
Just when you get the feeling that Fat's getting nicely ahead of himself and starting to think that he's actually a broadcaster, that's when he gets it most wrong.
Yeah.
And this is the idiot file we're about to run with. Matty had a good 7.5 minutes.
No, he didn't.
He had to snip it back to something that we could fit into a 2-hour show. Mm. But I am told this is one for the ages.
Sam Darcy playing his first game
yes.
for the Doggies. And Caleb. what's his name? Daniel. Oh, little Daniel. No. Is playing his 150th
what's
game.
What's his name?
Caleb.
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 Little Daniel. Yeah.
Speaking of 150 games, Jake Colodesny. Oh. That's his name. What about this? Italian decathlete. Decathlete. Mm. Alberto Nuno, Jim. Came last in his 400 meter run on the weekend in Colombia.
All right, here we go.
This is from Jim.
Oh,
I ate four alphabet soup today. Oh, no. Cans of alphabet soup today.
Oh, no. All
right. Guess what happened when the girls, the Diamonds, they beat Jamaica, who beat them in the pool
home
game.
And away, yep.
Yes, exactly. They won the gold medal, and it is their 1,000th. Gold medal that Australia have won.
Give another go.
1,000th.
A third go.
That's 999 plus one.
Oh, she's the 8th of August, Bill. How quick's this year going by?
Yeah, quick.
It's unbelievable. We've got two more games left.
Two and home and away.
Oh, no.
We've been following Ricky Stewart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is set to cop a one or two-game ban and a $20,000 fine.
Ban.
Yes. No, you didn't know it.
$200 Neverland store voucher. By the way, the Neverland warehouse sale is back 9th to the 11th of September. Prices from just $15.30. Warwick Avenue, Preston. Don't miss out.
How much? Netherland? How much? Neverland?
Neverland.
Oh, my God.
Well, you
and
don't...
Geelong had missed a granny.
See, you look in the revision mirror. I just look through the windscreen, Jim. That's all I look through.
You need help. Big boy, second hour coming up, and we will cross to Perth to chat to Xavier Ellis.
Oh, we like Zed. Don't worry. Actually, X, isn't it? But up next, we chat to the lizard, Sydney's Nick Blakely. Sydney's Nick Blakely.
Willis, tonight we chat to a man who has jumped ship.
Exactly right, Jimmy boy, from Master Chef to My Kitchen Rules. Matt Preston, the man with the cravat, Jimmy boy. But shh, that's that up, Bill.
Going
to
be too long.
We go from there to Elon Musk, my mate Muskie.
There's no G on the end of it, Elon.
Elon,
yep.
Musk.
Yep.
Lucky seven.
I sit down when they're on the V8 on, I look, where's, there's all... What's his name? Viz Gamberger or whatever his name is. And all they're all
that's
there.
The best.
What about family? We've obviously got
he's got one. Rau.
Ryu.
Rau.
Rau.
That's how boring it
is. I don't have a house to put it in yet, though, but I'm working on that.
So what's the pitch? He just jumped it in out of the shop, did he?
It was at a studio. So.
It's going on. Jumped it in out of the shop.
Biggest decision of my life. Got to do my due diligence and all that. Carry on.
Earlier in the show, Bill invented a coffee that nobody wants to drink.
$850 fine. 8 weeks. Well, hopper latte.
$850.
A hopper latte.
That's
I hope he doesn't stir it with his finger.
Does. All the best to you, Hurls. On the other flip of the coin, Jim, or even the other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. The next day, he comes into work. I said, did you do what I told you to do? He said, yes, I did. Mike, that's a colleague said that. He said, yes, I did.
What is this? What is this?
I'm going to start.
Oh, my God. You're not allowed to start again.
Yes,
you've got to finish the joke from here.
Oh, now, Jim.
What
I'm
is that?
I'm firing in a protest. Matty can't use the stuff through the ads we do. And the stuff ups, he can't use that.
Yes, he can.
No, it's only on air stuff.
100% he can.
Nick Blakely twice.
Yeah, Nick twice.
Blakely. It's not hard to say.
Not hard.
Either is 1,000.
No.
But so, Matty can't be using that because I've had a really good week. I've had a good look at myself this week and I improved?
No, you haven't. And that's why we love that segment because it drags you back to the level you're at. Nick Blakely?
Blakey. On the buses. Nick Blakey. I'm going to see Matty now because he can't use that shit.
Oh, I love him. I love
He's
Matty.
He's dirtied up.
I know. I love Matty. He is liquid gold.
I did, but I don't. So he can get stuffed.
Well, make sure you're back because your Fruity Friday joke isn't too far away. It's the
he was
rush
about
hour.
To. He was about to walk out with his headphones on.
No,
and they were going to go twang.
He's gone.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Well, I'm up here, Fatty. It is pristine. It has been the most beautiful day. It's early, sort of 23, 24 degrees, and this ground is superb. So it couldn't be set better. I think Melbourne.
Mm. Melbourne.
Yep,
because of the record. Melbourne. You go with the record. But the record, I say, with the Lions up there at the Gabba, is you can't go past that. So I say the Lions win.
Okay.
Have now, you found the little plaque, Jim, up there?
No, there's no plaque, and that's a good thing.
Most goals.
No one knows you or any plaque or anything up here. But let me just, I'm just going to say this as a precursor to next week.
Oh, here we go.
All right, so we've got tonight.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Monday, which I can't do a lot about. But from Tuesday next week.
Yes.
If two things that don't happen. Firstly, your jokes don't improve.
Yeah.
And secondly, old moon-faced mumper in front of me keeps pressing the wrong button, then there will be steps taken to rectify the situation Tuesday next week.
Mm.
Right? I'm not getting my reputation dragged down by banana number one and banana number two. Right? So there you go.
Oh, shut up, Jim. Just shut up and listen and smile. You should be happy. Great day for football. Great day for North Melbourne. So you should be happy.
Let's finish it in a good frame of mind.
Righto.
Billy, won't you tell a joke now?
Oh, nah.
Because you're not a funny man.
Grow up.
At least not on purpose.
Oh, Billy.
All right.
Fruity Friday, Jim.
Fruity Friday.
So we say sorry.
Oh, no. You're already apologising.
We are this one, Jim.
Oh, no.
Jim.
Yes.
What do you get when you put human DNA into a goat?
What?
Kicked out of the goat park.
And the joke bit.
You get kicked out of the goat park.
Oh.
Did you get it?
Rabs.
No.
I know, Rabbits, I know what you had in mind to press.
Yeah.
I know, because there's some theatre involved in your pressage.
Yeah.
But after hearing that,
no.
I actually know you can't press that button.
What's wrong with that one? I don't mind that. That's all right. Rabs, what do you think?
Sorry, mate.
Oh.
That Rabbits, well done. That's the worst joke of the week.
I think it's all right. Well, 4 from 5. I'll take 4 from 5. Why don't you come in with a joke? Hey?
Woolly bully.
Why don't you come in with a joke?
Woolly bully. Woolly bully. Sucked in fat.
We had something set up and everything.
Oh, I love it.
Red.
I love it. Well done, Rabbits. Good work by you.
Have fun, Jim. Find that plaque where it's at.
Come on.
Bill Brown, it's 11 goals.
Come on, North.
North. Hang it. There it is.